Last week, we saw that forgiveness before the body of Christ was conditional. We had a look at the Old Testament, and we saw that in the Old Testament, God only forgave people if they brought an offering to the temple. That was how God forgave people. We also saw that people forgave people in the Old Testament by being, if you did something wrong to me, you had to pay me back for what you did wrong for me. And only once you paid me back would I forgive you. Then we had a look at when Jesus was on earth, what was forgiveness? And we saw that while Jesus was on earth, he taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive others." And we saw that Jesus said that unless you forgive others, God will not forgive you. So therefore, you could not be forgiven of God unless you forgave others. Then after Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, the kingdom on earth was ushered in. And the disciples were instructed to sell all that they had and to share amongst one another, and thereby showing their forgiveness of one another, and thereby showing that they were part of the kingdom on earth. And we all remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who had a parcel of land, and they went and they sold it, and they came and they gave a portion of the money to the disciples. And Peter says to Ananias, "Why have you lied against God? You haven't lied against people, but you've lied against the Holy Spirit." And Ananias fell down dead. So we saw that forgiveness was conditional on the premise that you had to share what you had with other people. You had to show forgiveness for other people. Because what we need to understand is that the kingdom of heaven on earth, remember in the prayer of "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And therefore, that was the kingdom on earth. And the New Testament that God had promised to the nation of Israel in Jeremiah 31:31 was that there would be a new covenant where I would write my laws in your heart. No longer would any man have to teach his brother anything about the law. They would have it in their heart. That was the New Testament. The kingdom of heaven on earth. There would be peace and tranquility on earth. But as we know, the nation of Israel rejected the offer of the kingdom. And therefore God raised up the body of Christ. And as we saw last week, in the body of Christ, forgiveness is unconditional. God forgives you even though you don't do anything to deserve it. In this dispensation of grace, we are forgiven unconditionally. And therefore we have to forgive unconditionally. And our text verse for last week was Ephesians 4:32, and it said, "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake." So we see that our forgiveness is not what we do, it's what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And we have to forgive the same way. That's what it says there. "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." You don't have to say to people, if you come and you say you're sorry and you don't do it again and you promise never to, that's the way we do it, don't we? But that's not the way a Christian forgives. A Christian forgives unconditionally. "I forgive you. I'm not happy if you do it again, but I forgive you." And that's how we need to learn to forgive. Now, it's with the same theme that I want to speak this morning on a different thing. We spoke on Christian forgiveness last week. This week, I want to speak on Christian faith. Christian faith. What is Christian faith in the body of Christ period? This period that we call the body of Christ. We're living in the period called the grace dispensation, which is the body of Christ. And the reading I'd like us to take this morning is from Luke chapter 9, verse 12 to 17. "And when the day began to wear away," doesn't that sound fantastic? "Then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and the country round about and lodge and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. In this reading this morning, we see that Jesus performs a miracle. And this miracle authenticates that he is God. You see, the Jews require a sign. And the Jews required that the Messiah had to do the miracles of God. And therefore, Jesus performs this miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes with the 5,000 people to authenticate he was God. Remember in the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel was wandering through the desert, they were wondering, where would they get their food from? They were in the desert. And we read in our reading this morning, they were in a desert place. And they were wondering where they would get their food from. And God miraculously provides manna from heaven. He provides food from heaven. When they start complaining, he sends ravens, and they have ravens to eat. So therefore, God miraculously provided food during the desert place. And here we have 5,000 people in a desert place. And they are hungry. And they were wondering, where are we going to get food from? And Jesus says to his disciples, you give them food. And the disciples say, but we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's barely enough for us 12. Never mind the multitude of 5,000. Why don't you send them away and let them go into a city and get some food? And Jesus says, get them to sit down in 50s. And Jesus takes the bread, breaks it, looks up to heaven, and blesses it. And suddenly, there's enough food to feed 5,000 people. It authenticated that he was God. Because the Jews require a sign. They needed a sign to prove that he was God. And here he performs a sign, a wonder. But it's not only that he performs this wonder and feeds them all. They were all filled. I wonder how many of us would be filled with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is even better than that? They take up 12 baskets of the fragments. One for each tribe of the nation of Israel. Thus proving to the nation of Israel that he was God. Because you see, the nation of Israel wanted a sign to say that God, that he was God. And that's what he did. Now this is one of the things that many Christians today believe that it's Christian faith. I've read many books on testimonies. And there's one in particular, maybe you've heard of it. It is called God's Fast Bowler. It's a book written by Peter Pollock. Remember, Graham Pollock used to be a superstar in the cricket in South Africa. He was one of the best batsmen they ever had, but his brother Peter was a fast bowler. And he became a Christian. And he tells a story. I met him over here in Greenwood, actually. In Greenwood, I met him one evening. And he gave a testimony of how God has worked miraculously in their lives and things like that. And he said, you know, my wife and I were expecting a visitor from overseas. And we had to go to the airport to pick him up. And in our rush to go pick him up, we forgot all about buying some cake for afternoon tea. And on the way to the airport, my wife said, what are we going to do? We've got no cake for afternoon tea. He says, and when they got home, as they walked up the steps, miraculously, next to the door, there was a cream cake. And he says, you see, God provides. And what is even better, God is a great provider, because he doesn't just provide cake, he provides a cream cake. He believed, and he said, if you have enough faith, God will provide for all your what you need. If you want a cake, he'll give you a cake. You just have to claim it. And that's what many Christians believe is Christian faith. We ourselves, and please you don't have to stick your hands up, but I know you're all going to stick your hands up. We often say, oh, well, God provides for us. And he does provide for us. But we need to understand it's got nothing to do with my faith. But then we also have people who believe that Christian faith is that God will heal. If you have enough faith, God will heal you. And they are right. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ heals. He heals people of all ailments. Do me a favor, turn back to Luke chapter 8 and from verse 41. As we go through the Gospels that teach about the kingdom of heaven on earth, you will see that Jesus does fantastic miracles. He has power over the elements. He has power over the physical body. He has power over the mind. He has power over the universe. He has power over the demons. He has power over everything. And that was related to the kingdom. The Gospels speak to us of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And these are the things that are written there. Many people judge or base their Christian faith on the teachings of the Gospels because they don't understand how that all fits together. But in Luke 8 verse 41, it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded them to give her meat. Yeah, we see that Jesus had the ability to heal. Jesus did fantastic miracles throughout the Gospels. He even had the ability to raise the dead. And this is what many people believe about the Christian faith. If you have enough faith, Jesus will heal you. Now, what we need to understand is that this is in the Bible. And Jesus said it. Jesus said, if you have enough faith, I will heal you. Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. Jesus said, if you believe, just believe. He said to Jairus, he says, only believe. So therefore, it is in it. And during Jesus' earthly ministry in the kingdom, there was miraculous healings. And let me tell you, there are going to be miraculous healings when Jesus comes again. We celebrated the other morning, we do this until he comes. And when he comes again, he's going to set up the kingdom of heaven on earth, like he promised, which the nation of Israel rejected. But when after the 7 years of tribulation, they will call on him whom they pierced, and they'll say, please come back. And he will set up the kingdom, and he'll rule from Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, yeah, on earth. And there will be miraculous signs on this earth. No one will get ill. No one will die. Everybody will live. The lamb will lie down with the lion. It will be peace and tranquility on this earth. That's going to happen. So we see that during the kingdom period, if you believe that Jesus will heal you, he'll heal you. Or even if you get somebody else to believe on your part, take Jairus' daughter. She couldn't believe, she was dead. But because her father believed, Jesus raised his daughter. Now, is this Christian faith? Is this what we should be teaching people? Is this Christian faith? The question I want to ask is, the woman with the issue of blood, was she a Christian? Nowhere in the scripture does it say that she even followed Jesus. But she'd reached the end of her tether. She didn't know what to do anymore. Well, let me go and try this guy. Maybe he can help me. She simply had faith that he could help her, not Christian faith. And this is what we need to understand. During the kingdom period, if you have faith that Jesus will heal you, he will heal you. Who goes into the kingdom period? Is it believers? Well, I'd like you to, don't turn over to it now, but when you get a chance, turn over to Matthew 24 and read about who's going into the kingdom. When Jesus comes back to this earth, he's going to separate the sheep nations from the goat nations. The goat nations are going to go to the lost eternity, but the sheep nations are going to go into the kingdom. Those sheep nations are not believers. When I say not believers, are not people that believe in Jesus Christ, but they have been kind to his brethren. Who are his brethren? The nation of Israel. And they're going to go into the kingdom. So there will be people there that are not believers. Of course, eventually they will all become believers. But if you go and read the scriptures, you'll find that they don't all become believers. They make as if they are believers, but at the end, when God releases Satan out of the pit, then they will all turn against, well, not all, but most of them will turn against God once again, and then God destroys the heaven and the earth. But that's another series that we'll talk on at a later time. But during this dispensation of grace, what is Christian faith? What do you and I have to believe as Christians' faith? Now, one thing we need to understand is, I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that God heals. I believe that God provides. But not according to my faith, but according to his will. That's important. It's important to understand it's according to God's will, not according to my faith. One of the greatest tragedies in the Christian movement is the teaching that if you have enough faith, God will heal you. A little girl lying in hospital with leukemia. A Christian minister comes in and he says to the parents, "Hallelujah, God has told me I must come pray for your daughter because she will be healed if you have enough faith." 2 weeks later, that little girl dies. The parents have either distress or disillusionment. They become disillusioned with God. But I believed that God was going to heal her. I believed it with all my strength that God was going to heal her. But he didn't heal her. I don't believe in God anymore. Or maybe we didn't have enough faith. Oh man. And they become broken, believing that they killed their daughter. This is the problem with teaching of if you have enough faith. I said it earlier. It's not dependent on your faith. It's dependent on the will of God. During this dispensation of grace, it is God's will, not our will. It's God's will, not our faith. So in closing, what is Christian faith in this dispensation of grace? It's trusting or believing that God has only the best in store for you. It's trusting and believing that God is in control. Whatever happens in my life, whatever happens in your life, God will never test you above what you are able to bear. That's the important thing to understand. So does God provide for us in a miraculous way? Or does he give us the strength and the wisdom to provide for ourselves? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Tell me, is that providing a cream cake for you? If you're not prepared to work, Should you eat? This is what the Bible tells us. So how do we tie the two together? 5,000 people, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Sitting in the desert place, just sitting there listening. Let's feed them. How are we going to feed them? And here we have the Apostle Paul saying, if any man does not work, neither should he eat. You see, we are not living in the kingdom period. We are living in the dispensation of grace. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to read that in a few minutes. What about healing? 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now also have a look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left sick at Miletum. Hang on, doesn't Jesus heal? Paul, didn't you have enough faith? How can you leave a brother sick at Miletum? You see, this is the difference. My grace is sufficient for you. I will heal you according to my will. I've shared this with you before, and I'm a living testimony to it. For 4 years, I promised to go into the full-time ministry. Every time that somebody asked me, well, when are you going to come? Oh, next year, at this present time, we need this money for the church and that type of thing. And it took God to put me onto a deathbed and have a triple bypass before I was prepared to move. It's according to his will, not according to my faith. And if I never had that triple bypass, forgetting about the physical living side, I wouldn't be here in this church this morning. I'd still be in South Africa working on the in the secular world like I was. It took God to stop me and put me into the ministry. And that's what we need to understand about God's will. I had faith. I'm a great, I loved God, and God could heal me. He could do anything for me. But God said, whoa, stop. You need to turn your way around. You need something to stop you and move you in a different direction. And often the Lord allows things to happen in our lives so that we can turn in another direction. We don't know what God wants for us. We see this little bit that we're living in now, but God sees the future. He knows exactly where he wants you to be. And therefore we need to trust him. So during this dispensation of grace, we see that God heals when it is his will. So the final verse I'd like us to have a look at before we close off this morning is Philippians 4, 11 to 13. And this sums up what the Christian faith is. If anybody asks you, what is the Christian faith? This is a verse that you can give to them. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Christian faith. So during this dispensation of grace, we need to learn to trust God. In every circumstance I find myself in, therewith to be content. When we learn that wonderful truth, then we will know what Christian faith is really all about. Then we all know what it is to live the victorious Christian life. You see, think about it. If I keep on wanting everybody to pray for me to be healed, It's my will. I want it. But if I ask somebody to pray for me, and please understand this, we pray for everybody all the time that they get healed. But not according to our will, Lord, but according to your will. Let it be, let thy will be done. And that's what we need to understand about Christian faith. Christian faith is, I trust God. I trust Jesus Christ. I've put my life into his life. It's his life, not my life anymore. We sang that song a little bit earlier this morning. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Remember that? We need to understand that. We need to understand that it's Christ's life. I gave my life to Christ. And therefore it's his life, not my life. And let's be honest, he will take care of you no matter what happens. If you trust him, that's Christian faith. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is to know that we are members of the body of Christ. What a wonderful privilege it is to know that in Christ I can do all things. What a wonderful privilege it is to know that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And therefore, Lord, we pray that you'll bless your people. We pray that you'll instill this in their minds, that they'll be able to live a victorious Christian life so that they can go out into this world and tell the world that life is worth living. Life is worth living because Christ saved us from a lost eternity. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to share this truth with your people. And we pray, Lord, that they will be encouraged, they'll be uplifted, and that they'll leave here rejuvenated to face the week ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.